The story of the prodigal son brings to mind the words of the prophet Jeremiah. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Palestine is a very dry place, and water is crucial for life, as we know, as we found out when our well was broke. We noticed how precious water was when we didn't have it very easily here. So we got just a little bit of a taste of what it's like to really be in need. And in Palestine, even to this day, you have disputes among farmers and even among bordering countries over water rights, because if you don't have water, you can't live. You can't have a farm, you can't live in an area if you don't have access to a reliable supply of water. And obviously, the best source of water would be a spring, where you're getting a steady flow of pure water that's from some mountain system that's springing up, and you can just go and stick a bucket into it and pull it out. But you don't have those all over the place, and so people learn to dig wells, go down deeper to find water. But in some places you can dig and dig and you're still not going to find water, and so what people learned to do was first to dig holes into solid rock and make cisterns. And then eventually people came to learn that they didn't have to do that in solid rock only, but if they made a plaster wall in a cistern, they could make a cistern that could hold rainwater. So basically a cistern is a big hole in the ground that is designed to catch rainwater, and it fills up and you at least have a steady supply of water. It's not the best water in the world. It's runoff, so it's got to be fairly dirty. It's just sitting there. And you'd have to be fairly crazy to give up a spring for a cistern, even a really good cistern. But you'd have to really be crazy to give up a spring for a cistern that was broken. A broken cistern would be one of those cisterns that had a plaster wall, but for whatever reason it cracked. And after a cistern's wall cracked, unless someone repaired it, it was absolutely worthless, because all the rain could keep going in there, but it would just keep leaking out of that crack back into the soil, and it would hold no water. So it would do you absolutely no good. And when we turn away from God, we are like a person who gives up that spring for a broken cistern. Not even a cistern that can hold water, but a cistern that can't hold anything. We turn away from God and we seek fulfillment in all kinds of things that have the appearance of happiness or an appeal to them. People get involved in drugs, they get involved in sexual immorality, people seek happiness in the form of acquiring wealth. And if those things didn't have an appeal to them, people wouldn't do it. I mean, there's certainly a momentary pleasure that you're going to get from drugs. There's a momentary pleasure that you get from sexual immorality. There's certainly some benefits to being wealthy. But nevertheless, if you pay attention to the lifestyles of the rich and famous, you see people who have all those things. They have access to whatever they want. You know, they're adored by fans, they have an unlimited supply of money, and nevertheless, they're miserable people. And very often these people wind up even committing suicide because they're so incredibly miserable, because they've departed from the real source of fulfillment and happiness, and they've gone looking elsewhere, and at the end of the day, water flows into that cistern, but water just keeps seeping right out. And there's no life in that cistern, only emptiness. God wants us to be happy, and God provides in the Christian life a great many benefits and blessings to us. God was the one whose idea it was for there to be a sexual relationship. It's not an evil thing in and of itself. As a matter of fact, it's a very good thing. And in the bonds of a committed covenant marriage relationship, it can be a wonderful thing, and you have an institution that is strong enough to maintain that happiness and that love a lifetime and beyond. But when you seek fulfillment in sexual immorality, yeah, you're going to have some momentary pleasure. People wouldn't do it if that wasn't true. But it, even people who have just one ferry after another, after a while they get tired of it. They get bored because there's only so much excitement that you can find in that kind of stuff. There's only so much pleasure. The hedonist, we hear about hedonists and hedonism, but the funny thing about the hedonist is even the hedonist who believed that the chief good in life was the seeking of pleasure came to realize that there was a paradox in that. And that, yeah, you can seek pleasure, pleasure is a good thing, but the strange thing is the more you devote yourself to seeking pleasure, the less pleasure you get. There's a point of diminishing return. You seek your pleasure in eating food, you keep eating and eating, pretty soon you get sick. You seek your pleasure in wine, you drink, you get drunk, you get sick. You seek your pleasure in any kind of an excess, and eventually the excess of that thing results in you being unhappy. And so even the wise hedonist came to realize that there had to be moderation if you were going to really have any kind of lasting happiness or pleasure. But of course, that's only true to a certain point, but there's a much deeper joy that we find when we have a right relationship with God, when God is the center of our life. And God becomes that living spring, that living water that wells up in our life and brings joy to us regardless of whatever circumstances we might be in, and through us brings joy to those that are around us. The prodigal son did exactly what the prophet Jeremiah talked about. He departed from his father. He didn't know that he had it made. He had a wonderful life with his father and had no appreciation for it. And he went and he had fun for a while. He engaged in riotous living, but he spent every last thing that he had. And then a famine came, and none of those people that he was having those parties with cared a whit for him because they really didn't have any real relationship. And he came to total destitution. He was feeding the pigs, which in the scriptures in the Old Testament it says, cursed is he who feeds the swine. So he basically reached the very bottom of the barrel. And even he was looking at the food that the pigs was eating with envy, because the pigs were eating better than he was. And the scriptures tell us that he came to himself, which is a very interesting phrase. He came to himself. Because when we come to ourselves, the way we are supposed to be, the way that God intended us to be, is in a right relationship with God. We are not ourselves when we are away from God. We're not ourselves when we're going after all these other things that really can't make us happy long term. We come to ourselves when we come to God. And God did not give the prodigal son justice. God gave him mercy. And that's what our hope is. We very often have people wondering, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And that's a legitimate question that we can talk about more, and we have talked about in the past. But another way of looking at it is which of us are really good people? Which of us, if we really got justice, would be getting anything that we would really want? We need mercy. We don't need justice. We pray that God will be merciful to us. God is just, but thankfully his mercy supersedes his justice if we will only repent and allow ourselves to be filled with his grace and his mercy that Christ purchased for us on the cross. I'll end with the words of the prophet Isaiah, a very similar passage to the one of Jeremiah. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and ye that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Amen.